To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph. How are you this morning?
Oh, pretty cracking. I mean, Saturday morning.
Beautiful Saturday.
Beautiful Saturday. It's the weekend. Plenty to binge.
We've been dying to get here.
All of us. God.
Everyone's just like, oh, thank God it's the weekend again.
And I can just get back to all my streaming.
Just dragging ourselves.
As you do. But it's been a really interesting week in geek news, Blake. The biggest, I have to say, and probably the most oddest, we're getting a couple of Joker movies.
Yeah, weird. It's been a weird week. There are two Joker movies and perhaps three Joker movies that are actually in allegedly in production. So far, the two big news was Martin Scorsese of... all of the movies of Goodfellas and Casino and Taxi Driver and Mean Streets and The Departed and Raging Bull and everything,
yep.
Is producing Todd Phillips, who directed The Hangover, is looking at creating a gritty Joker origin story that does not star Jared Leto.
Thank goodness.
But and apparently that's just been recently greenlit by DC, and then. On the flip side, we've got the guys who directed Focus and Bad Santa, Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, are apparently doing a Harley Quinn, who Margot Robbie was the star of theirs in Focus with Will Smith, and Jared Leto Joker love story movie called Harley and the Joker, or Joker and Harley or something like that. So that's two Joker movies.
Yep.
They are not connected.
And here I thought DC was trying to chuck a Marvel and try to make everything connected.
And look, and... on the flip side, there's also one other bit of Batman news this week, which is a lot of people are flipping out about, was that Matt Reeves' new film, The Batman, which is looking like being its own arc of a couple of or a trilogy of films, that people are freaking out saying that, oh, it's not going to be part. Someone took a quote and ran with it and said it's not going to be part of the extended DC universe. But according to Matt Reeves, no, he's just saying, I'm making a Batman story. There won't be cameos from The Flash.
It's just Superman. A standalone.
It is a standalone Batman story. There will not be cameos. And I think a lot of people are flipping out like, oh, it's not part of the universe. Well, it is, but we're just not making it a cameo-laden entry into the series like a Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's doing what Guardians of the Galaxy did. We are part of that universe, but we're going to stay separate from all the shenanigans on Earth.
So far.
So far.
So far. That's not to say that there's not going to be future integration shenanigans later. Yeah. But it's a weird week for Batman fans because it's like, huh? Martin Scorsese?
Yeah.
Sorry, do you mean Martin Scorsese?
I was drinking something and I was like, what? What?
look, and all you're left with is this, you're just perplexed. Everyone's a bit perplexed. There's a few people like randomly doing great tweets and stuff like, tell us what you're doing, DC. We don't understand. I'm kind of just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. We'll see what happens. It doesn't all have to be an interconnected universe. In fact, I'd almost be happy if DC came out and said, look, we're just going to make cool movies about our characters and they don't have to be connected. How do you like that? And people could flip out or what. But, you know, I think that's the blessing of like, you know, Wonder Woman didn't need to exist in the DC universe at all. I mean, although there's those bookends. If you cut the bookends with the Bruce Wayne photo nonsense and you just played that movie from start to finish, it wouldn't matter. The movie would be just as good.
They could have kept it because no one knew that it was actually Ben Affleck that gave it to
her. Yeah, it's totally. But it's fine. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird week, Soph.
It's a weird week. But we finally got through The Defenders, which came out last Friday. What did you think, Blake? Because I thought it had a very strong start.
Yeah.
And then it just, they didn't know what to do with themselves. And then it just, let's just chuck in a lot more kung fu and we'll see how we go.
Yeah, look, I really enjoy Daredevil. I think it's the perfect, you know, it's the perfect approach to take like a really real world character like him who has martial arts and fighting. And I think the fighting in Daredevil, especially, you know, the infamous hallway scene is like outstanding. It's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones, again, outstanding. You know, she's a super heroine, but she's, you know, all of her physical powers and prowess, like it doesn't work in a world when you've got a Killgrave who can mentally manipulate you. So that was a really fantastic, you know, dichotomy. You got got Luke Cage, who he doesn't want to be violent. So that's the great thing about his sort of defensive power, is that he just wants to absorb the punishment and not allow anyone else to get hurt. So that's the invulnerability is about him protecting the vulnerable. Iron Fist skipped it. skipped it. These all these characters together, though, make a really weird mix. And I think the biggest issue is that they've still got this very broody, very serious, very straight-faced approach to superheroes, but you've got these fantastical characters, so they actually don't work together. Like, they don't take it to the next level of being fantastical. Like, when Joss Whedon in The Avengers brings all of those characters together and does those money shots of, like, Iron Man shooting a phaser off Captain America's shield, which then, like, goes to Hawkeye taking a shot at something, which goes to Natasha shooting something, which goes to, you know, the Hulk and Thor bashing that entire, you know, that huge Chitauri alien. Like, that is the level of fantastical that you need for that. And I think in this movie, I don't think it needed to go that crazy, but a movie that I kept thinking about, or I kept dreaming that this adaption could be, I'm like, couldn't the Defenders have been the Big Trouble in Little China? Like, the John Carpenter fantastical lightning monsters, like, let's just take it to the next level. Let's take it from broody and serious, but take it to something that's kind of winking to the audience that, yeah, we're going to go a bit farcical because the even joining these characters together is a bit weird. But they didn't do that. They tried to keep it really broody. And for me, I was watching it just going, to be honest, Sophie, it took me like 3 or 4 attempts at the last 2 episodes. I was so bored.
It was just a mishmash of fighting that we had already seen in previous series. There was nothing new. I actually dozed off during those last
multiple times,
and I had to stop, restart.
Took me 3 days to get through the last 2 episodes.
Okay, that's next level. But yeah, it was like after such a strong start, because you have all this mishmash of heroes that you didn't think would work together coming together in a bloody elevator out of all places, and then from there just went,
yeah,
and I'm like, oh.
But some characters work, so there are saving graces, like a Daredevil Jessica Jones works a treat, a Luke Cage Jessica Jones works a treat, and
I think that will work a treat.
Iron Fist breaks this entire thing. Look, Iron Fist is so bad. Don't watch it. And look, the Defenders, look, for its ambition, I'm not going to discount it, but I just think there's something about the broody when you're trying to take it into the fantastical. You have to elevate. You have to go to the next level. You have to, and you know, I think the way of doing that for this was going to, like, Big Trouble in Little China-esque. I could be totally off base there, but I struggled.
Well, never fear, Blake, because there is another show on the stream sites from Amazon Prime Video. It is known as The Tick, and we spoke to a couple of the stars, but I think the only way to introduce them properly is through your movie voice, Blake.
Here we go. In a world where superheroes exist, one man knows the baddest and worstest supervillain is still out there, controlling the good folk of the city. But who will believe him? Enter The Tick.
We're joined by creator Ben Edlund and star Griffin Newman, who plays the mighty sidekick Arthur.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us into your... I assume this is your home?
Yes, it is our home.
Okay, cool.
Now, Ben, this has been your baby. You created this back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So how was it? What was the original concept when you came up with it all the way back then?
I mean, in a lot of ways, it came from the same sort of seed concept of, at that point, I was reading comic books, reading superhero comics, and there were a lot of, superheroes were very important to my burgeoning awareness, and the idea of having fun with them, still loving them, but sort of making fun of them and having fun with them started to just be something that made a lot of sense to me. And I grew up in kind of semi-rural Massachusetts where there's just a lot of ticks. So, I mean, that's just... Actually, my dad, who... All right, 2 parts of it. One was, I think, my dad was very influentially odd man who kind of helped with the just general bed of absurdity from whence the tick sprung. But then... And a good example of that is... And tying into ticks, I'll be quick. you know, he used to keep a jar full of gasoline on the kitchen windowsill during the summer, and we would have dogs that we would be pulling the ticks off of, a lot of ticks, and then you would put the ticks in the gasoline, like building a Molotov cocktail over the course of the worst one. That's not how you want to go, by the way. Covered in a flaming bath of gasoline
bomb.
And tick.
Yeah.
But no, so it would, by the end of the summer, it would look like a jar full of olives and gasoline, and that was pretty traumatic. So anyway, you know, ticks and superheroes sort of found their way to meet, and a humorous notion about, like, taking on the totemic kind of, using the tick as your bat for Batman.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that even in the 80s, it was so far, I thought it was funny, so far into the superhero, you know, kind of saturation of our culture that, wow, you've run out of names, and you need to go all the way down the list of scary animals to tick. The, you know, tapeworm is the next one under it. Anyway, was the beginning.
I don't know if I've ever told you this. My mother had, like, very, very severe Lyme disease, had, like, a real intense bout of Lyme disease.
Holy crap, that's
so
serious,
I feel like,
stuff.
Yeah, I never... Like, you're saying your whole reason for picking the tick was like, oh, what a comical, ridiculous thing. And I think by the time I found out about this property, I was like, yeah, ticks are as scary as Batman.
Yeah, like, really instilled
brought
fear.
My family to its knees.
Right, and that's, yeah. Man.
We had, like, a long planned trip to Disney World. I was one of those kids who was constantly pushing to go to Disney World. When we finally went on the trip, my mom had, like, come down with Lyme disease. So my dad would take my brother and I out to the rides.
And she was hotel bound.
Yeah, we'd just come back and she was lying. It felt like it was like Wuthering Heights or something. She was just lying in this hotel room with the lights off. And final day, we rented a wheelchair.
Right.
And we were able to skip the lines, and it was like, you can pick three rides that mom goes on. And I was pushing my wheelchair around Mother around Disney World, so happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That gives a tremendous depth to your performance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the grounding. Every actor needs to have a secret in their performance.
Real strange association with all of that.
Yeah.
So I love about this property and about your current adaptation of it is we are absolutely at superhero saturation. And I feel like I feel like the tick is like the cold bucket of water that appears every sort of decade that says, hey, guys, can we just not take ourselves so goddamn seriously for just a half minute? And it's okay. It's okay. Was that like was that part of the gestation and sort of the desire for this new project specifically?
I think that's how it feels to me. It does. It seems as though this level of saturation with superheroes, we're at the point of reaching a kind of fatigue level.
Yes.
And that's... And I would have thought that, I mean, that's what's strange about the persistence of this is,
we were going to hit fatigue 10 years ago.
Yes, yeah. And then 4 years ago, and then 3 years ago, like, we were developing this. I was sort of working out the pilot and sort of working on different versions and trying to work out the engineering with Amazon for about 3.5 years, about 3 years. And I thought that we were already going to be, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the crescendo and just be like commenting on something that had happened, but it's still widening and widening. And
I very distinctly remember, like, 9 years ago in 2008, reading a ton of think pieces of, like, I think this is...
Right, the tipping point. We're done now.
Right, yeah.
The
and Iron Man has happened.
And
the Dark Knight came
that
out
summer.
Together. That
no,
summer.
No, but I remember reading those pieces before those two movies came out, and everyone was like, I think this is the last year of superhero movies. And instead, it's the two movies that, like, completely set the next decade in motion. Yeah.
Right. So, a very... yes, I would say the tick was called into service almost. That's how it feels, more or less.
Yes.
And we're doing a weird thing with the energy that drew us here, which is like trying to also take part in all of the... Because the tick only exists because I'm an enthusiastic enjoyer of hero fiction.
It just won't quit.
Yeah, and like it's... Yeah, so it just comes back and it wants... This is the one where we want to take the most... Seriously, the thing we're making fun of, and it makes it for a very interesting soup.
That's what I think is so interesting about this sort of reconceptualization of these characters that Ben has come up with in this world, is that, like, on one hand, we're kind of throwing cold water in the face of all these so-called serious, you know, or self-serious superhero properties. But on the other hand, I think there's a very, very pure, simple, classical idea of superheroism at the center of this show.
Yes.
You know, it's not superheroes fighting other superheroes or fighting a hole in the sky or fighting their own doubts.
Or a blue light into the sky is my favorite.
Right. It's like the Tick is like what you kind of think of superheroes being when you're six.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, so it's like, he has that line, Peter has that wonderful line. It's like, heroes are the soul for villains. Oh, right. And it's right. Just like, that is that synthesis of that. Perfect.
It's just we've gone so far, like all the way around, like so hot it's cold.
Yes.
That now doing the most classical version of a superhero is weirdly the most like countercultural. Yeah. You
that
know,
is like the cold of bucket of water is right. Like, oh, remember they used to like stop people
save people
doing bad things.
They were nice. They liked being good.
Yeah, they liked people. Yes. Like that's a big deal with the Tick.
Why do these people really want me to save them all the time? The darkness in my brain won't let me sleep.
I've got to. Okay, but do you like people?
Yeah.
What are people?
Yeah.
What is the point? Even
what is yeah?
We can't wait to check out the full six and then later in the year. But
cool.
It's so nice to hear that Tick dog whistle again. So. We hope you guys keep making the hell out of this show.
I hope we do.
Our antennae
too.
Are up.
They're up.
They're twitching. All right. The Tick is out on Amazon Prime Video now.
Six episodes.
They'll be releasing another six later in the year.
Early 2018, I think. Okay. I think it might just be, 2017, 2018.
You can catch the full chat with Ben and Griffin on 2SER.com. Well. It was what I needed after the Defenders, to be honest.
I had a fun time watching the Tick after the Defenders.
Mm.
It was such an antidote to that. The Tick does things that do all the things that you are thinking about in your brain, and especially after watching the Defenders, of thinking, God, some of these people just need a hug. The Tick will give you that hug.
Thank God. God for hugs. But Blake, that's all we've time for on Gaggle Geeks.
Thank you, Sophie. See you guys. Enjoy the Tick.
Enjoy streaming everything.
Stream every day.
Every day, all the day.